He rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and they found him. And they say unto him, All are seeking thee. And he saith unto them, Let us go elsewhere into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For to this end came I forth. And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Now, in John, two passages, one in 6 and one in chapter 7. Other passages I will simply bring to your attention. John chapter 6. The disciples had been rowing without success to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Our Savior comes to them walking upon the sea, gets into the boat, and immediately they are at the other side. And those whom he had fed, the 5,000, are looking for him. They are not able to find him on the side of the sea where they saw him last. And so it says in verse 25, And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Were it not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which abideth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him the Father, even God, hath sealed. Now chapter 7, verse 33. Jesus therefore said, Yet a little while am I with you, and I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, ye cannot come. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the strange behavior of thy Son, unless you anoint our eyes to understand it. And yet, our Father, this one who behaved in such a way that is so different from the way we perceive, all his actions were guided by the Spirit of God. We pray that we shall understand this, that looking upon our conventional lives, behaving in a way that is above criticism in the eyes of men, let us realize that thy Son behaved in such a way, he was constantly criticized, and yet you said from heaven, Father, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us follow not the traditions of men, but let us follow the word of God. What saith the Lord? We thank you for the portions that we have read this night. Bless them to our hearts. We confess our sins, attend to those, and we confess our inability to do anything of lasting benefit apart from thine empowering. So empower by thy Spirit, and work in the hearts of those who hear, we pray, and let something of lasting value be accomplished here this night, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. You've heard of the second blessing. Well, there is also the second finding of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not to be found only one time, and that is the end of the matter, but the true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ discover this, that they find him in different situations and in different locations throughout their lives. What happened was this. For the first time they found him, and this is the most important, I told you this morning. It was this. They found him in his own dwelling place when he lived in Capernaum, and they found him spiritually. Physically, they had seen him. John had introduced him. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they followed him, and they went home, and they talked with him from 10 o'clock, from the 10th hour, and it said they stayed with him that day. They found him because they went out and told others, we have found the Messiah. How remarkable. They have found the Messiah. But having found him initially as the Messiah, and that is what is so important, you have to find him in the first instance as God's anointed one, the one whom God anointed, sanctified, and sent into the world to save sinners. But after that, you discover him in so many other ways and situations, and those are some I read to you from Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel. And I want to consider some of those tonight. How strange the places, the situations in which we find our Lord. Now, what is so remarkable is this, that God said in the book of Exodus, he said, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. And so, Moses built the tabernacle. And Solomon built the temple. And if God was to be found, they could go to the tabernacle and he would meet there with his people. There was the altar of burnt offering and they offered their sacrifices and the pillar of cloud was above the Holy of Holies. God was there. In like manner, when the temple was dedicated, God manifested his presence in the temple. But that would have been easy to find God. Where is God? Go to the temple, you'll find him. Go to the tabernacle, you will find him. But where do you find God manifest in the flesh? And you must understand this. It says in John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. But he was not centrally located in the midst of the children of Israel as the tabernacle was. In fact, he was among them in such a way that even John the Baptist said, I knew him not, but God was going to point him out to me. He told me that when I baptized him, the one upon whom the Spirit of God as a dove would descend and abide upon him, he said, that is the Messiah. And he said, here he is. This is the Son of God. So John did not know the Lord Jesus. And in like manner, the other disciples introduced to the Lord Jesus by John this way, behold the Lamb of God, they went and stayed where Jesus abode. Now think of this, the magnificent tabernacle in which God abode, the more glorious temple in which God abode. And now, here is the Messiah, and where is he staying? Probably in his own hired house, some obscure, small, insignificant dwelling place, and they went in the house with him, and they stayed with him that day, and when they came out, they said, God is here, not in a temple, not in a tabernacle, but in a dwelling place. And this was the glory of the incarnate Son of God, that the Lord Jesus dwelt among them as God had spiritually. Now, the Lord Jesus had taken human form, and he was tabernacling among them, but not in a tabernacle made with hands, but in that body prepared by his Father, he tabernacled among men. And for that reason, men would go and visit him and talk to him, and then they would understand when Christ said, a greater than the temple is here. Why? Because the temple was the representation of Christ. And Christ said, I am that which the temple represents. A greater than the temple is here. A greater than the tabernacle is here. And yet, that which so gloriously displayed Christ in tabernacle and in temple, when the Lord Jesus came, he was made a little lower than the angels. And here is what is so remarkable. Think on this. We like to think of God miraculously doing everything, but you will find that when the Lord Jesus was hungry, he had to go to a fig tree, and if there were figs there, pick them off and eat them. You say, isn't that remarkable? And if the Lord Jesus wanted a place where to lay his head, if he wanted protection from the elements, he had to go and secure a lodging place and see to it that it was furnished, and go out and get food every day and bring it home and prepare it and eat it. You say, how do you know this? The same way that when the disciples, and here is what you must understand, when the disciples wanted something to eat, only on rare occasions did the Lord Jesus miraculously provide that food. The 5,000, the 4,000 he fed them, but you'll look in vain for any miraculous provision at other times. Now, when he was raised from the dead and he was by the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples had fished all night and caught nothing, they came and they found a fire of coals and they found fish on it. Can you imagine such a thing? That the Lord Jesus had secured those fish. Now, we would like to say, oh, he created those fish. He secured those fish and he cooked them over a fire of coals, and then he said, come, sit down and eat. And so the Lord Jesus had to find a home in which to live, and if he were going to be a good host, he had to provide food for his guests, and that is what he did. So this is how condescending the Lord Jesus is. He whom every angel in creation would willingly serve, whom every angel willingly worships in a past eternity. This one came to earth, and only occasionally did angels come and minister to him. After his temptation in the garden, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, then the Lord Jesus was ministered to by angels. But I want you to see that when Jesus was on earth, just as the tabernacle had to have skins over it, to protect it from the elements. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he became man, had to have a home in which to live to protect him from the elements. He had to have food, or else he would grow hungry. He had to have sleep, or else he would be weary. The Lord Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And this is the marvel. And that is the way that God allowed men to find his son. To think, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, where would the Lamb of God reside? He says, you come and see. And John doesn't tell us anything about the abode in which our Savior stayed, but he does tell us the impression that was made upon him that day, and Andrew, we have found the Messiah. Anytime a man with an open heart is brought into the presence of Christ, and he desires to know God's will and God's way of salvation, he always leaves with these words upon his lips, I have found the Messiah. That's all that's necessary. I'm not worried about all of these disputers, all of these wise men that can knock down every truth that we present to them about salvation. I don't worry about that at all for this reason. God's word says, if any man willeth to do God's will, he shall know of what I teach, whether it is of God or whether I teach from myself. And this is what proved true. When God, manifest in the flesh, was living in a dwelling such as you and I live, and yet people went into this humble abode, and when they left, they said, this is the Messiah. This is the anointed one of God. And I told them about that this morning for you who weren't here. I can't tell you all these other things. But I told them about the Lord Jesus being found first in Bethlehem's manger, and the Lord Jesus was found in the temple as a young boy, 12 years of age, and I told them about the Lord Jesus being found in his abode in John chapter 1. And now, tonight, picking up where I left off, because it's most essential, because you must find Jesus more than in the way of a Messiah to understand his person and his ways and God's ways in his life and in yours. So, the Lord Jesus has now been manifest to Israel. The Spirit of God has come upon him. The Spirit has driven him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He has vanquished the devil, and now he's going everywhere preaching the truth of God. So, he, accompanied by Peter and some of the other early disciples, is going here and there in Galilee preaching. And our Savior have had a day so filled with activity. And the day is ended. And the Lord Jesus goes and stays in someone else's dwelling and spends the night there. But this is what it says. It says, a great while before the day, he rose up and went out and departed in a solitary place. The word is Eremos, a desert, a desolate place. And there he was praying. Think of this now. Here is the Savior who had had ever so busy a day, and he slept, but a great while before the day, he went out into the desert, and there he was praying. And so in the morning, the other disciples are sleeping with him in the house, and so they get up, and they say, oh, we had better go and wake up Jesus. And so they go to the room where he was supposed to be, and he's not there. And so they go in hot pursuit of him. That's the remarkable thing. Where is he? We've got to go find him. And so they go and they look for him, and they find him in that desert place, and he is praying. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That the Son of God come to earth, he to whom prayer was offered, now is one who offers prayer to his Father. He finds it essential. How important is prayer to you? Which is worth more to you, sleep or prayer? And I'm afraid I know the answer. Let me tell you about the Savior. You'll find that a great while before the day, the Lord Jesus leaves people. Why? All you have to do is to be in a home, and you'll see what happens when people get up. Noise, interruption, distractions, it's always that way. The Lord Jesus says, I can escape that. Means nothing to me. He gets up before anybody else gets up, and he goes out into the desert, and there he prays. You say, that's a rather radical solution. It was the one that Lord Jesus used. Is it good enough? You say, it must be. It was the only way the Lord Jesus could find seclusion. It was the only way the Lord Jesus could find fulfillment of his own teaching when it says, you, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door. And here is the Savior's closet. It's a solitary place. It's a desert place away from people. And he is hiding himself from them. And they have to go in search. And they find him. And he's praying. All right. I want you to think of this because two things are startling. The Lord Jesus prayed. All of you who think that Jesus being God manifest in the flesh, that he didn't have to pray. He didn't have to draw strength from any source but himself. That's entirely wrong. He never drew strength from any source other than not from himself. When the Lord Jesus wanted something done, he prayed to the Father to empower him to do it. When the Lord Jesus was going to make decisions, he prayed to the Father before he made those decisions. And when the Lord Jesus is in a location and is having success, he prays to the Father as to what his next move should be. That's most important. Here is what you would think. If the Lord Jesus is here, and God has empowered him, and he's healed and cast out demons, and the people are bringing all sorts of people to him for blessing, why, it's evident. Why leave where the blessing of God is being manifested? Because the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father, and his Father told him to leave. That's why. And so you and I would never think of such a thing. But the Lord Jesus did. Why? Because he prayed. And here is what I find. That the Lord Jesus here, a great while before the day began, he was praying. And in John 6, I did not read you the whole story, but you'll find at the end of a busy day, when he sent the disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus went up into the mountain and he prayed. And then before he chose the 12 apostles, it said he prayed all night to God. So let's think. So he's going to have a busy day. He needs all the strength that he can muster. And yet he gets up a great while before the day and he goes out and prays. And at the end of the day, and he having worked for his Father, you remember the time he was in the ship And there was a storm on the ship, and the Lord Jesus was asleep, and the tossed boat in the storm, it didn't wake our Savior. That's how exhausted he was. So at the beginning of the day, he cut short the sleep that others were enjoying, and he goes out and prays. And at the end of the day, when others want to go home and rest, the Lord Jesus is praying. And then finally, when night comes, surely you can rest now. The Lord Jesus evidently found it necessary to pray on this occasion all night long to his Father. But in the morning, when he arose, the 12 he chose were the ones that his Father had pointed out to him. Do you understand this? That even though there was no one who was in closer communion with God than our Savior, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, the Lord Jesus still found it necessary to go and pray to his Father. And this is what it says. I know what happened when he went out early in the morning and prayed. It says this, He wakeneth mine ear, morning by morning, to hear as those that are taught. And the Lord Jesus went out, and he tells us in Isaiah that the Father wakened his ear, and he told him what he was to do for the day. Now, in an overall sense, the Father had conveyed what his Son was to do. But his specific instructions day by day, the Lord Jesus received in his ear from the Father, morning by morning, he awakens my ear. And the Lord Jesus, a great while before the day, rose up and went out into a desert place, and there he prayed with his Father. Here is what I find. If Joshua could cause the sun to stand still, and the day was longer than it should be, the Lord Jesus said, well, I have a lot to do today. I don't know if I can get it all in the amount of hours that are allotted me. What I'll do, I'll cause the sun to stand still. He never did it that way. If it required 12 hours or 14 or 16 hours to do what God wanted him to do, then he did the will of God, and he deprived himself of sleep and comfort and rest that the will of God might be done. Now, here is how it is with Christ, and it must be with us. The Savior said, are there not 12 hours in a day? There were 12 hours in a day for him. How many are there for you? You say, 12. There were only 12 for the Lord Jesus. He said this. He said, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Yet a little while is the light among you. The Lord Jesus knew that his Father had allotted him some 33 years. The Father said, you have to get all the work done in this number of hours. But Lord, it means that I'll have to get up early in the morning and lose sleep. Yes. And so, he lost sleep. It means that I'll have to stay up late at night. It means that I'll have to pray all night long. The Father said, yes. And he did it. If necessary, I will get up early in the morning. If not necessary, I won't. For this reason. You figure out what has to be done. And you pace yourself accordingly. Here is what I'm thinking about. I go down to a place that takes me 2 hours to drive in Goldsboro. I know that I have to get up at such and such an hour, early for me, and I have to shave, I have to shower, I know all the time it takes, how long it takes to drive, and therefore I have to deprive myself, if I stay up late that night studying, preparing the message, I have to deprive myself of those hours of sleep. Why? Because God's work requires my missing sleep this night. That is what I do. And I get there on time, and I thank God that I have employment, that there are those who want to hear me speak, and I thank God that I can be there and minister his food to his lambs and his sheep. And I've been up a great while before the day, in my case, and I am there waiting, sitting at the Lord's Supper, desiring to partake in fellowship with the saints of God. And I've been up a great while before the day. And those who live across the street will come in late. Why? Because evidently sleep or some other thing is more precious to them. No. Yes, when you have time, sleep. but do not deprive God of his time. The Lord Jesus said, it's going to take this number of hours to do God's will this day. I'm not going to have enough time to sleep. I'm going to get up a great while before the day. Then do it. Deprive yourself when you have to. At other times, go in and sit down with Mary and Martha and converse with Lazarus and fellowship and relax. But if there is something that God says should be done, when the hour was come, they sat down, then lose sleep. Deprive yourself of any enjoyment that you have, and when the hour comes, sit down and give God that time. The Father said, Son, I want you to do this day. And the Lord Jesus said, yes. You know it'll require that I get up a great while before the day. Yes. And so the Lord Jesus gets up a great while before the day. However long it takes you to do God's will, then deprive yourself of those relaxations. Then, when you have time, do what you want to. But get God's work done. Do what he tells you to do. The Lord Jesus did. And understand this. He said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Then be intelligent. If there are 12 hours in the day, it takes so much time to do things in a day. And the Lord Jesus said, it requires these hours. And so, he deprived himself of any of the comforts of life that the will of God might be done. However, perhaps I'm speaking strange words. Only when it's essential do I do it. But at least I tell you, and I tell you this example from the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the Savior, and he prays to the Father. It is essential. How is it that the Savior, so intimate with his Father, finds it necessary to pray to know what God wants him to do? How is it that you, with so little prayer, know how to get through life? Would you answer me that question? Why, if Christ, concerning something, a decision that must be made, he says, it's so important I have to pray all night, and you and I, a great decision, why, we pray just on the spur of the moment, and say, now, God, work this thing out for me. Isn't that strange? I'm just telling you these things to show you the example that Christ gave, the example that he set before us, and the way that we live. And yet we wonder, how is it that I'm so mixed up? How is it that so often things go wrong in life? How is it that I'm so carnal? Well, just look at the life of Christ, and you shall see. But understand this, that here, the Lord Jesus was found, and he was found praying, and when Peter came to him and he said, everybody is looking for you. The Lord Jesus said, let us go to other towns and preach the gospel there. For to this end was I sent. Isn't that remarkable? Here are people that want to hear the Lord Jesus preach. He said, I'm not staying. I'm leaving. Why? Because he had prayed to his Father, and his Father said, you've been here long enough. And the Lord Jesus left. That's why. That is why when the Lord Jesus went into this porch and he saw a multitude of sick people, he could have healed them all with one word. The Lord Jesus went to this impotent man and said, would you be made whole? And he left the others sick. Why? Because his Father told him. That's why. And that's why the Lord Jesus is strange in his behavior, because his ear was open to the will of God. And you and I, why, we would do everything in an orderly way that men think we should do and say, now, I'm above criticism. Yes, but would the Father look down from heaven and say, this is my servant in whom I am well pleased, and are you doing what you do because you have instructions from God, or is it just the thing that you think you should do? Well, remember, the Lord Jesus acted in a strange way. When he was going to see Lazarus, they said to him, don't you understand that the Jews were just seeking to kill you? The Lord Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walketh in the light, he stumbleth not. The Lord Jesus understood redeeming the time, and he told his disciples, but evidently they did not understand. But I cannot dwell on that. Now, I must tell you of this. The Lord Jesus is found praying. Do you see? In these other instances, when he's found at the temple, he's found at the temple learning. He's found in his house revealing himself to those who want to ascertain whether he is the Messiah. He's found in the desert place praying. When they find him, The life of Christ is filled with surprises for those that seek the Lord. So seek out what God says about His Son. That is why you can come and tell people the simple truth of God, and they'll say, "Why, that's a revelation. I've never heard it before." Why? Because you told them distinctly what God said in His Word about His Son. And they've been reading it, but they've never realized, because they haven't sought to find Christ. And they haven't found Him. They think they have. But if you look for the Lord Jesus, you'll find Him in the desert praying. He gets away from men. "But I thought He was friendly with people. I thought He wanted to save people." You've had enough time, and He leaves. And so here is a man who hears the gospel over and over and over. And here is a man who hears it one time. And the Father says, "He's heard it enough. He's had his chance." This man's heard it so many times, he's gospel hardened. God says, "Let him hear it again." The only way you'll know is if you pray to the Father and God opens your ear. That's what Christ did. But in this instance, let me tell you, in John 4, the word "found" isn't there. But his disciples have gone to get food, and as they found him in the desert, in this instance it says, "And upon this," when the Lord Jesus is talking with that woman at the well of Samaria, "upon this they come and they marvel that Jesus is speaking with the woman." You see again? They marvel that he would leave them and go out into the desert and pray, and then he wouldn't preach to them anymore. And now they come upon him, and they find him speaking to a woman of ill repute. And they marvel, but thank God they contain themselves. You and I say, "What business do you have talking to that woman?" So many times people do that. Why, it may very well be that this person that's talking to that woman of ill repute is witnessing to the woman. And that's what the Lord Jesus had been doing. I remember this. Years and years ago, one of the teachers at Emmaus was on a trolley car, and I had been to see my sweetheart, and he had been to see his, and I was behind him, and he came in and he sat down next to this woman, and I saw him talking to that woman. I did not let my mind run loose, and after a few minutes, I saw him reach in his coat pocket and pull out a tract and give it to us. Why was he talking to the woman? Now, what did I have it? So he's just been to see one lady and he's talking to another. You see how evil our minds can be? I said, "No, it's none of my business." And so he was speaking to that woman, seeking to win her soul. He had been courting this other woman whom he was to marry, and now here is a woman he was trying to win for the Lord Jesus. And in like manner, some would say, "Why would you talk to that woman?" Because the Lord Jesus said, "I want to save her soul. That's why I'm talking to that woman." And you'll find him doing strange things. You'll find him in strange locations. You'll find him behaving in a way that will confound you. But all the time, it is because he has direct guidance from his Father who is in heaven. Why is Jesus talking to that woman? Because God loves that woman as much as he loves you. And he wants every prostitute to be saved as much as he wants all of these religious Pharisees to be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And here is a woman, a fallen woman, and he wants her to be saved. And faith cometh by hearing. And the Lord Jesus said, she must hear. And the Lord Jesus, in speaking to that woman, announced to her, she said, "When the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things." The Lord Jesus said, "He who speaketh unto thee is he. I am the Messiah." And then the woman went away, and with weakness and with questioning, she said, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this possibly be the Messiah?" And they came out and said, "Is he the Messiah?" "Yes, he's the Messiah." And they said, "Now we don't even have to listen to you. It's not your talking. We ourselves have spoken to him, we've heard him, and we know that this is the Savior of the world." The same thing has happened in chapter 4 that happened in chapter 1. They came and talked to Jesus, and as soon as they finished talking to him, they said, "This is the Savior of the world." In John chapter 1, they conversed with Jesus that day. They said, "This is the Messiah." And I promise you this, if you know not Christ as Savior, talk with him. Shut out Satan. Listen to the truth of the voice of the Son of God, and you will leave saying, "This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. This one is altogether what he says he is and whom the Father has said he is." Just this. You'll find in chapter 6, the worldling is able to find Jesus. Anytime God is going to hand out free meals, the world will always find out where those meals are. And they're willing to cross the sea to find Jesus. And Jesus can see through them. And he says, seek not for the meat that perishes. He said, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. He said, you have ulterior motives. And so remember, there are some who find Jesus, but their finding Jesus does not result in any beneficial result. John and Andrew found him. They were saved. The Samaritans found him. They were saved. And these who crossed the sea to find him found him, and they benefited nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You are seeking the meat that perishes. And so think what you are seeking Christ for. There could be ulterior motives. But those who truly seek him, they shall find him. This is what God says in Jeremiah. If with all your heart you truly seek me, you shall surely find me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he hears. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we give thee thanks for the Son that you sent into the world. There was none like him. Forgive us, Father, for trying to interpret him apart from the way you present him in your word. Forgive us, Father, for knowing just how men and women should behave, and yet we know not from the teaching of thy scriptures, but from the traditions of men. Let us search the scriptures, for in them we find eternal life, and we find the way of God. And we find this one who had all the Father's will revealed to him. We thank you for the refreshing person of Jesus Christ. Yes, he's God manifest in the flesh, but we thank you also that he's the man Christ Jesus, and our hearts rejoice as we look upon him in his humanity. So let us seek him, and let us find him, and having found him, let us pattern our lives after the life of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.